Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Jack Stein sitting in for Mr. Dory Monson. I love that clip, Andrew. That little that drop that you guys do on Friday. I love that.
Oh, I do too. It's one of my favorites.
Speaking of one of my favorites, by the way, let's get right into the big lead, shall we?
The big lead. Top story.
John Curley joins us, the world-famous institution.
Thank you. In an institution? Hello? I can't hear you. I'm in an institution. Yeah, I love coming in on the Fog Hat. Hi, Jack Stein. Thanks for allowing me to come in here and further annoy the listeners as you've already begun to do that for the last 2 hours.
Thank you. Thank you, John. You know, John, can I say this, though, as just a serious note between you and I?
Oh, God. Is this about you shooting heroin?
I know that all too often, you know, you people like to misconstrue you in all kinds of negative ways. They say John Curley's.
Oh, is this right? Hey, this is starting out as a really weird compliment. Go ahead.
He says curmudgeonly. He's rageful. He's got a quick temper he's got on him. He's selfish, inconsiderate. But I got to tell you, John.
Okay.
Every time I call you whining and crying about some inconsistency in my life, you are always available for at least 5 minutes, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, John.
Thanks, Jack. Yeah, I'm thinking the most amazing thing at Cairo is they give people a chance to get on the radio, but then after they give you the job, nobody ever bothers to give you any help. So I was like, so ashamed. So it's like, yes, you can be a lifeguard, and now go save that life. I don't know how to swim. Good luck. So I kind of step in there because I feel occasionally somebody should, you know, assist the people coming up. So anyway, thank you very much for having some faith in some of the things I say to you. So hey, let's get into the big lead there, Jack Stein. Get in the big lead.
Yeah, well, the big lead, John Curley, is that there is going to be a pro-abortion rights demonstration this weekend. They're expecting to have, quote, tens of thousands of people turn out. And this would be amazing to me if it was in, I don't know, Texas or in Oklahoma or if it was in Arkansas. Pretty much anywhere outside of the state of Washington, I would be amazed. But because it's in the state of Washington, it seems kind of meaningless and directionless. And it seems, I'm going to say silly, being that, 2 days ago, the state, solidified a woman's, quote-unquote, right to an abortion. Made it so it was a sanctuary state for abortion. So why are we having a protest in the safest place to kill babies in the United States? I don't understand it.
Well, it's 16 to 17,000 abortions a year. You get up to 23 weeks in the state of Washington. Then after that, you need to be able to have some medical reason. The life of the patient, that being the mother, is in jeopardy. So listen, all of this stuff, whether it's abortion or Black Lives Matter, whatever, it really is more about being part of something that connects you socially. Most of the people that you see marching around with pink hair and a lot of dental work because their mouths are wide open as they're screaming stuff about people staying away from their private parts, which I don't know how many people have been near their private parts in a while, but the group of people that you screaming and yelling about stuff, most of the time, it's about being in something, about being part of something. It's about being part of a group. Remove the politics of all of it, right? It's about a group. The same group of people that formed January 6th down there to hear the president speak was about a group. It's a collective group, right? It's very tribal, and it's extremely necessary to us as a species to be doing something, be a part of something, be a part of a community. The great book, I think it was written in 96 or something, called Bowling Alone, and looked at the idea that we had broken apart, right, as a society. And then we also had the bell curve was also pointing out that we, and then the book after the bell curve pointing out generally that we don't communicate. We're not part of communities like we used to be. So this new sort of form of protesting and thing is a form of connections and cohesion and community. That's really what it's about. And then you can insert whatever cause you want, put it in the middle of it, whether 1968, you know, the Vietnam War protest or this protest or that protest. It's about being part of a group.
I understand.
You ever protest anything? You ever get into a protest? You ever been marching around? It is pretty amazing. It is a really weird, wild feeling where all you have to do is just sort of chant mindlessly. I went to the WTO protest, and you don't really have to think. You're just a big sort of organism without a brain, just screaming something that hopefully rhymes in simple AA or ABA rhyme scheme.
When I was, I think it was 15 or 16, it was right when the Iraq War was kicking off in full gear. And there was going to be a student walkout, and we were all going to walk out at exactly 10:35, stand up and walk out. Now, I went to high school in Carmel, California, so I was going to high school with like some of the richest, the children of some of the richest people in the world. I went to high school with Clint Eastwood's kids and the president of RCA and all this other stuff, right? So
yeah.
I just want you to imagine a bunch of really wealthy white kids saying, we don't like the war in Iraq. And so at 10:35, right on the dot, we all stand up in my it was a biology class. We all stand up, and then we all march down to the highway. And we're going to stand at the highway, and we're going to hold up signs that say, no blood for oil, and we're going to be part of this group. When we got there, though, all of the motivation died within a matter of, I want to say, 15 minutes. It just kind of didn't go anywhere because we were 15, 16, 17-year-old kids.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, people just kind of start meandering around and sitting down and like, man, lunch is like in a little bit. Maybe we should go back to class. It just deflated pretty quickly. Yeah. So that was the one time that I was protesting.
Yeah, I protested at the WTO. We didn't have to do the show that day, EDV Magazine, because of the gas and the fire and all the protests and all the other stuff. So we were preempted. So I ran downstairs to the carpentry office, and I said to Bob, the carpenter, can you make me a sign? And we screwed together this sign, and I wrote on it, I wrote on it, free checking. And I was marching with everybody with my free checking sign. And I then called and said, I'm going to get on every single one of these live shots, Como and Cairo, and then Fox and then King 5. And I made it through all three. And then I almost got interviewed by King 5. And then somebody recognized me and then swung the camera away. But I got on all the stations, and then some guy from some plumbers union saw my sign while I was marching with everybody, because there was like Free the Turtles and Free Tibet. And this and this and this. This guy looks at my sign. What's that? What is that? What's that? I said, free checking. Free. They say it's free, but there's hidden fees. I remember the days of my grandfather when you get a toaster when you'd open a savings loan. Whatever happened to those days? And the guy goes, you're jacking with everybody. I go, no, I'm not. No. It says hidden fees. No. I swear to God, if you're making fun of us, I'm going to punch you. I was like, okay, I'm out of here. And I left. And I got a call from the general manager at King 5. Really nice guy. He said, okay, you've made your point. Come home. So, but I was out there. I marched around with the people. I was with the people. You know, with the people.
But John, you weren't with the people.
No, not really.
You're mocking the people.
I was.
Free checking. I mean, those are people who are fighting against the World Trade Organization. They're fighting.
Right. And they're all running around in Nike shoes. Come on. The whole thing was ridiculous. Come on.
Yeah.
So this thing will go on Saturday. The thing on Saturday, it's really your rights are not being taken from you, especially in the state of Washington and across the United States, right? But you want to rise up against something, and you lose Donald Trump. So remember that every weekend we'd have some Donald Trump rally. Hey, Trump, blah, 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 right? This is something else. This is something to stir everybody up. Come on.
Is it that people just have that much free time, or that their lives are just that boring? I understand wanting to be part of something, but on a Saturday night afternoon, the last thing I want to do is go around and be around a group of people in bad vibes. It doesn't seem like it. And also, if I could say this, John, super spreader event. 10,000 people all congregating, walking, coughing, sneezing, yelling. Super spreader. Yeah. Where is – we need to shut this down, John. We should warn the people.
Bro, we learned that racism was a greater threat to humanity than was the virus. So it was okay if you were part of a Black Lives Matter protest, but if you were down in Olympia protesting the governor closing things down and closing churches, that was frowned upon. Now, listen, again, believe me, the people that are there screaming and yelling about abortion, it's not really that. It's about being a part of something. As Don O'Neill used to always say, being part of something bigger than yourself, which I understand that when it comes to sort of altruism, the idea of like joining forces with other people and making something good happen. Like we did that thing, we're raising money for the officers' families that were shot down in the line of duty. Right. Okay. That's bigger than yourself. But the other stuff, just something that means something. And this generation is so desperate to find something. The 60s had their protests for the war, and the 70s and the 80s. And I don't know what people were protesting. Really, greed was good. Then we got into, remember that whole, where all the sit-ins and stuff during the one percenters, and that thing just sort of petered out. Remember that whole thing of, it was happening at Westlake.
Occupy.
What was the name? Occupy. Yeah, Occupy, right? And then that didn't go anywhere. But people want to be a part of something. So this is what you get, whether it's this or Seahawks or Mariners or something. It's a team. You're part of a team. So
I don't blame them. So on May 5th, students from Rise Up for Abortion Rights, no spaces between that, so it's all one word, Refuse Fascism, Students United for Palestinian Equal Rights. Yeah. Okay. So here's the weird thing about that, though. I know that people are saying that the removal of Roe v. Wade is akin to fascism. I'm just going to pick a random fascist. Let's just go with, I don't know, Adolf Hitler. The Nazis were big fans of abortion. They were big old fans of abortion. Let me just pick another fascist out there. Let's do Franco. Everybody remember Franco?
Yeah, Franco.
Franco was a, just checking my notes here, John. Hold on, I've got to pull up my notes here about Franco. Yeah, big old fan of abortion. So I'm not sure exactly if the Refuse Fascism people are at the right party or not, or if they're just historically illiterate, because this is not very bright, kind of a bad name choice, right? Refuse Fascism.
Right. Plus, just think about the structure of how this is happening. You want 9 unelected individuals. So in 73-74, it went 7-2, right, was the vote for Roe v. Wade. So these are unelected. You can't really do anything. They're in there for life. You can't get them out. Good luck. Right. Okay. So those are the 9 that are coming up with that, whatever the topic is. Or, and that seems a little, you know, it's a little government in control of everything. Or would you rather tip everything back and then hand it to your elected officials and then have them campaign on various issues? Isn't that more democratic? Isn't that true democracy? Isn't that where he's moving sort of further away from the idea of fascism, where everything is about the state? And now it all of a sudden becomes your vote, your voice, and the person that you want to support. So then this becomes something that America certainly was built upon. So having it come back to the states as it was prior to Roe v. Wade, right back where we were again. And then all of a sudden you don't have an issue anymore. That's the problem. This has become a great big issue. Think about the only two big major victories that the Democratic Party has had in the last like 50 years has all been settled at the Supreme Court, whether it's Roe v. Wade or gay rights. If they probably could have gotten gay rights as we evolved as a society, right? We went from 66% in 2008 were against it, and now it's 68% in favor. It's as high as 70-some percent in favor. So you would then, if you made it a state vote, then all of a sudden you'd probably see the votes begin to tick the other way, right? So in this case, here we go. Now you get democracy. Now you get a chance to vote. Don't fear it, anybody. If you want to have an abortion, you're going to be able to have an abortion. It'll be some restrictive in some states, more open in other states. There you go. So this actually removes a lot of the tension, a lot of the power, and a lot of the anger that, you know, you could always, you know, don't vote for Donald Trump. He's going to put a conservative in the Supreme Court. Well, now you don't have to worry about that anymore.
Yeah, and I think that, and I said this the day that the news broke, is that this should be, people should be very optimistic about this, because if you live in a state where you want to have an abortion, you will be able to get an abortion. And out of everybody that I've spoken to that is a pro-life person, I've not heard a single one say, this is a travesty of justice, they need to make abortion illegal throughout the land. I've not heard a single person say that. I've heard them all carry the same philosophy that you just espoused, John, which is this idea that, well, you let each individual state vote on it, and then there you have a democratic expression. So the bullying that I believe is going to happen over the next, I don't know, couple of weeks before this decision is released, I think it's just going to keep ramping up. I think you're going to see more protests, more violence, more intimidation, all that kind of stuff until the decision actually gets released.
But don't forget, you're always justified if you're on the extreme left, to be able to use violence, because it's very similar to the question that after 2017 during Trump's inauguration, and people were talking about, is it okay to punch a Nazi? They walked up to Richard Spencer. He's standing there on the sidewalk and somebody, you know, cold cocks him out of nowhere. And then when that's violence, yes, but it's okay. It's like strangling Hitler as a baby, right? Well, it's okay because we look at everything we do. So it's so imperative that I punch you, because if I don't, then you and your thoughts and your ideas will rise up and thousands more will die because of you. So it's important that I hit you now, right? So that you always justified on the left to set something on fire or do something else, because it's so important. Because it's morally, you've got the superior high ground to everybody else. So, you know, go ahead and punch a Nazi. Well, how do we determine what a Nazi is? How about it's a guy with a haircut that we don't like, you know? So then you get into, it becomes the aesthetics. Well, then you just have to keep broadening out those that are guilty and those that need to be repressed. And that would be, you know, the white guy, whatever it is, whatever group it is that needs to, you know, get whacked. So, yeah, that there will be some violence. I hope nobody goes down there and counter protests. What you noticed, Jack, was when you guys left that high school biology class and walked out onto the highway, there was no one to push against you. There was no one to beep. So you lose that sort of fire underneath when there's nothing. It's like, you know, trying to tighten a bolt in outer space. You need something to push against. So for you, if people go out there and protest against the other ones, that's what they want. They want people to push against them so that they can push back. That's just the dynamic of physics on these things. So how many people expect to be out there on Saturday, do they say?
Tens of thousands. If I had to assume, it would probably be somewhere in the neighborhood about 10 to 15,000 people would probably show up.
All right.
Maybe more. You know, you bring a picnic basket, you sit down, listen to the podcasted version of the John Curley and Sherry Elliker radio program. Listen to some hot takes about big hands and killing mice and doubting
Thomas.
By
the way, I got to give you credit. About 3 years ago, the pro-choice people said, we're no longer going to be using pro-choice. It doesn't work anymore. It's lost its zip. And they were trying to find something new to replace pro-choice. They said, you know, they kind of outflanked us on that pro-life thing. Everybody's in favor of life. So I don't know what they finally came up with, but I noticed that you used pro-abortion.
What did I?
Yes, you did. I'm sure that wasn't their first choice when they were working it out, spitballing it on one of those.
What term should we use to talk about this? Should we be pro-abortion people or should we be pro-choice people? John Curley, you're the best. You're going to be on in a scant 40 minutes ranting and raving, I'm assuming.
I've got to go jump in the water. Yes.
Cool. Thank you very much, John. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Jack.
Coming up next on the Dory Monson Show, looks like Top Gun is in the news. We're going to be doing some hot music talk all around Top Gun and the drama resulting from that. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back right after this with more Dory Monson Show.
I see that you're hurting. Why'd you take so long to tell me you need me? I see that you're bleeding.
This is the Gaga song, Top Gun, yeah?
It is.
Wow.
There it goes.
This is super dramatic for Top Gun.
I know. I heard this for the first time yesterday, and I thought we had to talk about it today because...
Okay, this is a four-chord wonder. Do you know what a four-chord wonder is, Nicole? You familiar with this?
I mean, I've heard it. I'm not really great at knowing all that stuff, but yeah, I've heard
it. This is the same chords that don't stop believing, hold on to that feel. This is same chord progression, so you can layer that song on top of it. But okay, so Top Gun Maverick is going to be coming out, and apparently there's a little bit of drama behind the scenes of this particular song. Now, if I had to guess, by the way, Nicole, she'll probably win the Oscar for this song because everybody loves Lady Gaga. Everything that she
touches.
She deserves
it. I've already decided that. I don't care who else is in the category. I just love Gaga. The only thing that she's done that I wasn't a giant fan of was the meat dress thing, because that was just weird. Yeah. But yeah. Everything else I pretty much loved about Gaga.
So I guess 21 Pilots were supposed to be the guys who were going to write the song to Top Gun Maverick, which is a weird choice because 21 Pilots is a band.
It's just because of their name.
Yeah, that, but also, like, if you look at 21 Pilots as a group, they are the music that they produce is very dark, and it is very, I mean, we're talking about, like, self-harm, suicidality, in general, having a bad time, drug use. And the band itself is kind of a one-trick pony. They tend to do three-chord songs that repeat over and over again with big pianos, big bass, hip-hop drums. And they are loved by Zoomers. Zoomers love 21 Pilots. And the lead singer, Tyler Joseph, who's also the main composer, bass player, piano player, he's a really talented, really delicate piano player. I love the way he plays piano. He got axed. 21 Pilots gets axed from the production. And he was talking to K-Rock's Klein and Alley show, and he said, you know, funny thing, I don't know if I'm even supposed to say this, whatever. I was working with the music placement person for the new Top Gun on writing a new song for them, and I believe Tom Cruise came in and just fired everyone. So I guess that's the way that it breaks. But
I'm sorry, if you can get Gaga, I don't feel sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not be surprised to be replaced by Gaga.
So Cruise is an executive producer on the production. So what I imagine happened is he said, I need something that is a little bit more powerful than what 21 Pilots can deliver. And that's my assumption, is that he cares very much about the project. And he was probably like, I don't care about what how the Zoomers feel about this as much as I care about the actual quality of it. 21 Pilots, I don't buy this line in this article. It says, Tyler Joseph and his band found themselves on the massively popular soundtrack for 2016 Suicide Squad. It's like, that song is awful. That song, have you heard that song, Heathens? Have you heard that?
I've probably heard it. It didn't stand out to me, apparently.
Yeah, it's an awful, awful, awful song. So
I think it's funny, this video that Gaga did for the song for the movie, it's also kind of a trailer, right? So it's her out in the, like, a desert. It's got, you know, planes flying over her. It's very Top Gun-ish. And then it's got scenes from the movie. So when this movie was being made was the height of COVID, right? And there was all of that Tom Cruise yelling at people, canceling production. It was drama. And it made, I mean, I loved the movie growing up and I was somewhat excited about it. But Tom Cruise has gotten, his image has really gone down over the years, right? And so I wasn't excited about it. And then I watched this stinking music video. And I was like, I have to see that the day it comes out. Can I get early passes? Because it looks so good. And I know that the song's not going to play until the credits. But I was really excited for this movie after I saw this video. And now I've let all Tom's charades during COVID go. And I'm very excited about the new Top Gun.
Yeah, so here it is right here. It says, crediting Lady Gaga for nailing the heartbeat of Maverick's story. Hold My Hand is another example of what a hand-picked Cruise recommendation can do. So yeah, this is my assumption. Tom Cruise goes in there. He says, get these Zoomers out of here and get me Gaga.
I don't blame them.
Kids out of here and get me some Gaga, because I need some Gaga on this track. Am I surprised for this move? Am I excited for this movie? I don't know. I don't know, Nicole.
You should be.
It's been 40 some odd years.
I think Meg Ryan said this week that she didn't get invited to be in the movie. Obviously, Anthony Edwards died. And so only Tom is the character that returns, right? Which I was a little bit bummed. I'm going to ask Meg Ryan, or what's the girl that plays his Kelly something, right? That plays
Kelly.
Kelly, but could that be like a bartender? I don't know. You could do something.
Kelly
with
McGinnis. McGillis.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Nailed it.
I feel so bad for her, actually, because the Daily Mail has been very unkind to her.
But. Yeah, I'm looking at a picture of her now. She does not look in Top Gun shape. No. I'm just going to say that.
She could have been a mom in the movie or like there's something. Like, give her something. It doesn't. Yeah. I don't think you have to have the characters be who they were in the first movie, but I love spotting them, you know? Come on.
Yeah. Well, and also, I'm looking at this thing from the mirror, and these awful people commenting on this woman. It's
terrible.
Saying terrible things about this poor woman. All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, we will wrap all this up with awesome audio coming up right after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. Jack Stein sitting in for Mr. Dory Monson, wrapping all this up with awesome audio.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the week.
Cool. Perfect. Nicole, what do we got starting off with? I know we got a lot of Biden. We got some Pramila Jayapal in there. We got some Simpsons. What do we got? Where are we going to start?
Well, I thought we could start with your favorite View lady.
Oh, you want me to talk about who Sunny Hostin is and why she's a terrible human being? So Sunny Hostin is a member of The View, and she decided to go out of her way to say, basically discount about 14% of the Republican Party by saying that being black and being a Republican is an oxymoron. Here's what that sounded like.
I'm a black woman first, so always understand that. Mm-hmm. But I do say that I have many conservative values that I will talk to you about. And so if you look at your network standing behind, yes, and when you look at your network that you're standing behind, you're saying that you look at Chris Cuomo.
I feel like that's an oxymoron, a black Republican.
You feel like it's an oxymoron?
I do.
Why? Your friend right here is a Republican.
We had this conversation.
You say you feel like it's an oxymoron that you're Catholic, but you also are pro-life.
I don't understand either.
No, you don't understand yourself then. You have disagreements.
Myself, I don't understand either of
this, but it's not a personal conversation. Yeah. We're having a personal conversation about CNN and how things
black
can get leaked,
and I don't understand Latino Republicans.
Well, today this is not about me.
That reminds me of my friend Billy Sunshine, who I have on the show, much to my dismay, every single night at 8 o'clock. And he said, there's no reason. He has the same like weird progressive idea where he goes, you can't be black and vote Republican. And I say, that is the most racist, awful thing I have heard coming from someone who pretends to be this progressive person. Like, to say that the only way to be truly black or the only way to be truly Latino is to vote Democrat. I mean, it's like, so you don't get to have independent thought. You have to think a very particular way. This is an awful rabbit hole that they choose to go down. And Sunny Hostin should be embarrassed. What an embarrassing thing to say on national television.
I agree.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah, number two.
I guess we could go with the Jayapal since you teased that one. This is her marching through the Capitol chanting.
My right, my decision.
That was a little Sergeant Carter mix in there. Because JML telling people, I can't hear you.
Yeah, wow.
It's obnoxious. Nothing changes. Nothing changes
it's
in
like,
Washington.
Not a single thing changes in Washington. As a matter of fact, as of, 2 days ago, it's even more so. Nothing's going to change. So it's like, come on, please. What else we got?
So then we have Biden talking about boxes of food or something.
Remember those long lines you'd see in a television? People lining up in all kinds of vehicles just to get a box of food in their trunk. How quickly we forget. People were hurting. And what did the MAGA crowd want to do? Forget it. Forget it. God, this is the United States of America. The idea that people would have to wait in line an hour, hour and a half to get a box of food in their trunk. It's just unbelievable.
Whatever said there, mega, not believable. I don't know.
I'll remind people that Donald Trump wanted to cut everybody $2,000 checks. I just want to throw that out there. So I just want to remind people.
The price of food is slightly high, so we've heard, and people are having to go to food banks more. But okay, yeah. All Trump. Anyway,
Trump's
Dory
fault.
Made a great comparison.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville, I needed a new heel for my shoe. So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt, which was the style at the time. They didn't have white onions.
What's so funny about this is that this is like how Joe Biden lives. And almost everything that he does is like that kind of like meandering, going in all these different directions. Oh, do we have the I can taste it clip?
I thought we'd go out with it.
Look, I know you got to be frustrated. I know. I can taste it.
So if you're frustrated, just feel better because Biden can taste it.
I gotta see if I can remember how Dory does this. I go, I think I say something to the office because Andrew's gonna cut this, right? He's gonna take this and he's gonna play it for John Curley. So I gotta make sure that John is gonna be able to riff on this. So I think I gotta say something like the John Curley. I can't get it. John Curley and Sherry Elliker radio program is coming up next. Hopefully, John spends the first like opening of the show talking about me, so I can listen to John talk about me and our bromance. You know what I mean? So we can all. I can feel important because John actually is going to mention me before his show starts. All right, I got to get out of here. Thanks so much for letting me sit in. I appreciate it, Nicole. Dory Monson's going to be back on Monday. Honor, pleasure, and I will see you guys next time. Bye.
I can taste it.
End of the day, we've always found ways to come together. We can find that unity again. Then the message said, end of message.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.